Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, so your story, like, I knew
Are we already recording?
No. Okay, so should we just go ahead and start?
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Caroline, I've known each other for a very long time.
How long have we known each other? Okay, let's
like
just start.
10 years. I was literally talking about it with my girlfriend on the way here, and because she was asking about you, I was like, first of all, she's like sunshine walking into a room. That's just how you've always
been. That's really sweet.
But I said, I have known Caroline for the longest time. I remember one of my favorite, oh my gosh, multiple dates, but like, and like me with you too. I was like, oh, this guy would be great for you. But like when I first met you, like we would like, I have my favorite memory is us drinking margs at Taco Mamacita.
Which no longer exists.
No longer exists. But like,
talking about boys.
I think the best part about like this town, and I was saying this recently, it's like you, like, and I've lived here for almost 12 years and you've lived just like, I feel like I've lived so much life, but then I can always go back to certain points in my life and remember certain people. And like, even though we haven't really like spent a lot of time with each other in the last, like we see each other probably like 3 or 4 times a year at kids' birthday parties or stuff like that. And of course, like, ah, I love you. We need to hang out. It never happens. But like all those memories, it's just, you never like, can't make old friends, you know?
I get that now. You know, yeah. I didn't always get that.
Yeah.
But okay, so let me do a quick little introduction. I am so excited to be here with Raylan. I, like you're saying, I've known you forever.
Since I was 18.
And how old are you now?
I'm be 30 this year.
30?
29.
Man, life is so good at 30.
Gosh.
I just turned 40.
Don't even.
I'm telling you, 40 has been so great, but it's 40. Also like, whoa. Like, it's coming in layers. My thoughts about 40, yeah. 40, like I was super stoked about when it happened, and like, just like layers keep hitting afterwards. Like, oh my God, like I'm halfway through my life and you can't rely on your like sex appeal anymore. Like I leaned so hard on my looks in my 20s and 30s. Uh-huh. And it's like, somebody said this, when you're 40, it's like, nobody wants to like, you know, like, do you? You're not, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like people are like, man, I want to like get
first
with
all,
that 40 year old.
You are like a very attractive
40-year-old. Thank
you.
I'm
not saying like if I didn't know that you were 40, I would think you were like, and if I didn't know that I was about to be 30, let's say like age isn't a number and I just had to guess, I would say you're maybe like 34,
okay.
33.
I feel
and
about that.
You know what I'm saying? Like you look great.
But it's weird because like, and I started prepping for this in my late 30s. I was like, I'm going to prep for 40. And I like, I cut off all my hair. I dyed it dark.
I remember that phase.
I stopped my Botox. I took off lashes. I was like, who are you underneath all this stuff,
yeah.
Caroline? Because I don't know who you are. And you're about to be 40 and don't have a midlife crisis, please.
Yeah.
I did not want to have a midlife crisis. And because I just didn't want to rely on, I have so much more than like, looks, but when you get into this music industry and this entertainment industry, like you rely so much on your image and your branding and how people perceive you that like I just wanted to know how I perceived myself without all of that and like without trying to be something for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't freak out at 40. But anyway, so we have known each other now.
And now I feel like you're like back.
Coming
to,
back. I'm like, put the Botox, kill the lashes.
Like, I think it's good to figure out that. And you know what? You found that out. And I remember seeing you at Jen Wayne's baby shower.
Oh, yeah.
And you were telling me, you're like, I'm just figuring myself out right now. She's like, I'm not getting Botox. I'm like, I was like, you do you, boo-boo.
Okay, I don't know why you're doing that.
I haven't done this. I haven't drank in 9 months because I just had that Daisy and I haven't had Botox. I was like, so shoot up my face and I will take a shot. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No, but that's, hey, I'm proud you went through that. That's good.
Well, you know, life is crazy.
It takes time.
It does. This whole journey of life is so wild. And that's why, like, I'm so excited to talk about you. Okay, so Raylan, you are the shining star. You have been... I actually was thinking about this a lot before our interview. I was like, man, you have processed your whole life in front of the world through your songs because you went on The Voice when you were like, what? How old were you?
I was 17 when I was on the show because I was a minor. So
you went,
it was just before 18.
And you had your big flower in your hair and your big petticoat skirts,
dresses,
and you went on The Voice and you made such an impact. It was season 2. It was so new. Everybody was watching it. I don't feel like TikTok and Instagram and all that was like
none,
what it
none
is.
None of that was what it was.
So people would like watch these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like American Idol, The Voice was the TikTok and the Instagram.
It was.
Before TikTok. Now everybody has a platform and those shows are
which
great.
Which is cool, but the shows don't.
Have the impact they used to.
They don't have the impact that they used to because, like, everybody has a platform.
Right.
Which is, I think that there's pros and cons to both of it, to both of them. But, yeah, I mean, it was, when I was on the show, it was definitely a different time than it is now.
It is. And I want to talk to you about the platform thing because you have a huge platform. But you went on The Voice. You made such an impact. Blake Shelton, like, fell in love with you like a little sister. He took you under his wing. And still, he's like your big brother.
I love
him. I feel like. And he, like, really, like, scooped you up. And you kind of, like, went straight into the big whirlwind of country music.
Industry, yeah.
Right away, you became great friends with Miranda Lambert and, like, all these celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, instantly, when you were 17... started writing songs, you put out a single immediately, and you were just like in it, like fast.
It was fast. I don't think that so 20 and 21, I started like kind of processing my life, like with a therapist. takes a minute to like actually be like, okay, no, I'm ready for this. And I don't think I fully grasped how much of a whirlwind it was to be a girl from Baytown, Texas, you know, helping with worship every Sunday at church to being on a huge show to then being in Nashville and being amongst all of these artists that I grew up listening to. Every day I remember thinking, how the heck am I here? The only reason why I'm here is because of Jesus. And like the only reason why I'm here is because like, I mean, it's not me because it's like I couldn't have, you can't plan or work hard enough for something like that. It honestly just happens.
It has to happen.
It just has to happen and it has to be what God wants. And it's like, and when I think back on that, especially now going into my 12th year of being in Nashville, I mean, I'm just like, and I'm like, I'm still here. Like, it's just, it's
some
wild.
Seasons of it too.
It has been some seasons, but I will say The Voice, when I was on that show, I mean, I was the first. So they tell you what episode you're going to be on, but they don't tell you where you're going to be at in the episode. So I got an email, and it was like, okay, you're going to be on the first episode, and this episode's going to be the right after the Super Bowl. So
it was
like Super Bowl, and then right when the Super Bowl ended, The Voice started.
Oh my God, how many eyeballs were watching that?
I know. And so, but I didn't know. So I was like, I was praying I was going to be on the first episode because I was like, that's going to be the biggest episode, obviously, because if somebody's still watching the Super Bowl, they're just going to leave it on the TV.
I sure would.
Yeah. And so anyways, they told me, all right, you're in the first episode. I was like, oh my God, I'm on the Super Bowl episode. It was so exciting. And it was hilarious because everybody, my family has a church in Texas. And so everybody at the church was watching the Super Bowl and they were all staying to watch my episode at the church. It was hilarious. And so I was like, I wonder how many we're going to have to get through. Like, where am I going to be at the episodes? And then it goes, you know, I think the Patriots won that year. And then it, you know, it's showing The Voice. And I'm like, oh my God, the season starts. And literally 5 minutes into the episode, it goes, our first contestant, Raylan.
You were the first.
And I was like, what? And I was freaking out. I was like, how can this be? Like, what the heck? So, and this is a funny backstory to that. My husband was at his uncle's house, and his uncle is Michael W. Smith, which is hilarious, and not a lot of people know that.
His uncle is Michael. Did y'all grow up together?
Huh? We knew each other, but we didn't grow up together.
You like, loved him forever. Josh is the one you always loved. Oh, and I want to get into, we got to get into the Josh era.
I love Josh. But I'm just saying, like, so, but the funny thing is he was over at Michael's watching the Super Bowl with, like, Mike Fisher and, like, other people or whatever. And
you knew him at that point? Or you did
no,
not know
I did
him.
Not know him.
You did not know him yet?
I did not know him at all.
He sees you.
So he said, I'll never forget, Michael was like, oh, we know her. She's, you know, and he was saying, that's Ray. Like, and I was like, what? And so he was like, he said he remembers being at the house watching. He was like, who's this, you know, cute country girl just coming up on there? He goes, wow, she's got a lot of sass. And so it's so funny because it's a memory in his head of like being there and watching it too. But anyway, so after that, like, and too, like, social media was so different back then. Like, but I remember I went from having like 400 followers.
What was the platform?
On Twitter.
Twitter. Twitter. Oh my God.
Which is now X.
Do you do Twitter still? Do you do all of it? It's a full-time job to do all these platforms.
I get stressed. That's
do you do them all?
No, I not really.
But you do TikTok and Instagram and Facebook.
I try to keep up. Now I'm just like trying to post once a day. It's just, I have a team for that. I just get too much. And I'm a mom. It doesn't work. Yeah. But anyways, so I literally watched my Twitter, which is now ancient, go from 500 followers to over almost 15,000 followers, which was a big deal.
That's big.
Back in the day. Like, I mean, yeah. Now it's like that can happen overnight if you go viral. But you were talking, you know, 12 years ago or 11 years ago. Yeah. And so I was like, wow, this is crazy. And it was really cool. So after that show, you know, I didn't win that show. People think that I won. I did not win.
You won, though. You won because you got the goods.
Yeah, but I won in the fact of I'm so thankful I didn't win because I got to own more of my work. If I would have made it through to the top, like, thank you, Jesus, for looking out for me.
He's always looking out for you.
If I would have made it to, you know, won the whole show, I would have had to sign a 360 deal. And if you don't know what that is, it's just basically like your label and everything. They own all your music, everything. And with me not having gone that far, I got to own the songs that I write and pick what, you know, publishing company I want to go with. And I mean, I was 17 or just turned 18, green as hell. Like, and I didn't know what any of that stuff
meant.
Did
Blake guide you?
He really did help me. And so he was a really big, just advocate for me and just kind of helping me find managers and, like, you know, somebody that I leaned on to ask questions and kind of fight for me in that way and took me on tour. And
he took you on tour right away?
Yeah, he took me on tour right away.
So he goes straight from The Voice.
Yeah.
To a tour with Blake Shelton.
Tour with Blake Shelton, and then I tour with Miranda, and then Rascal Flatts. And it just, honestly, it all felt like, when I think back on it, I don't even remember what life was like, you know? I remember being gone so much that I had to, like, I have a chihuahua named Dolly, and she's still alive. Can you believe Dolly's still
Dolly
alive?
Dolly got lost for a minute. I'll never forget when she got lost.
She got lost in the car. We found her.
Oh my God. But that was like a 4-day search.
But like, I remember being gone for so much. I had to take her back to Texas and let her stay with my dad and my mom. But like, I was like, God made girls year. I think I was home maybe 50 days that whole year.
And you're 18 years old?
I was 19. First of
all, that's a lot to handle when you're that age.
Yeah. And I was still, you know, I think, you know, when I look back, I'm so grateful for my journey and I'm grateful for how young I was, like all of it. I would never say shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? I would have done it this way. But one thing, if I had to go back, you know, it is a lot to grow up in front of an industry. And I think what's been harder for me now being 30 or almost 30 or 29 is it's like when I decided to not wear petticoats anymore and I decided to wear jeans, like that was like the biggest deal. Or when I decided to not wear the flower in my hair, like when I was just naturally growing up and, you know, when I wanted to not sing about kissing frogs and God Made Girls and I wanted to start saying stuff that actually mattered to me and like heartbreak and what it's like to be in love and be married. Like when I started changing and becoming a woman in front of people when you're on a national television show. People don't really know how to see you any other way. Mm. And so it was kind of hard for me to not like, it was hard, but it wasn't. I will say my fans that have been with me have been along this journey and they're moms now. I mean, when I do shows now, I see them with their kids, which is so cool. But that was probably the hardest part was growing up in front of an industry that didn't, like, when you're 17, 18, because you don't know who you are at 18, no. Even 18, 19, even my early 20s.
I just figured it out.
I feel like I'm just now finding myself
yes.
in my late 20s. And, like, I'm so confident. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you don't like me. I just want to love my family, Josh and Daisy, and do what I love and screw everybody else. That's just kind of the way I'm
But
at.
You never had like your Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears moment, you know, because when you do grow up that fast, there's usually a moment where your brain explodes because like, it starts to hit you that all these people now have huge opinions about your life mm-hmm. and you don't know how to process it. And then you have, I mean, I've been processing my childhood in my early 20s all the way through my 30s mm-hmm. privately, you know, you're processing that publicly, you know, and so like, and through your songs, you mm-hmm. know, it's like everybody's weighing in on your life through your songs because you're processing it through your songs. So it's like everybody has an opinion about you through your whole teenage into 20s, these fundamental years mm-hmm. where you're figuring it out. It's like everyone's judging you.
Yeah. It's
how did you not have that moment where your head fell off?
I think it had to have been Josh. Josh and Jesus, because me and Josh
and Jesus,
you know, I got married very young. I mean, we got married at 21.
Everybody said, don't do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we started dating when I was 18. We broke up for 2 years, and then we got back together. And when I met Josh, I was like, this is my person.
Where did you meet him?
I met him at church in Franklin.
So he lived in a different city. Y'all knew each other,
kind of. Well, he went to Belmont.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to Belmont. Okay. And then, I knew him through, like, mutual friends and stuff. But I met him at church, and I mean, obviously, so cute, but he's so sweet. He has such a gentle spirit, but he's also very strong, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody's journey is different. I mean, my sister didn't get married till she was 30, and I think everybody, like, has to go through whatever process. But for me, I've always been an old soul, and I'm like, if this is my person, I'm just going to go for it. Why would I wait, you know, 5 or 6 years when we could have had 5 or 6 years under our belt in marriage? And like, I didn't have to wait. And so we got married at 21. Oh, but
is he 21 too?
No, he was 23 or 24. Like he's about 3 years older than me. Sometimes four, depends on what time of the year. But everybody told me that, you know, like not everybody, but people in the industry were like, oh, you've got to be available. You've got to be, you know, single or like, this is not, you know, this is gonna, you don't wanna, like, you don't wanna do this, you're too young. And the one thing that I'm so grateful for is I always call it my God gut. Like, genuinely, like, I think if I wasn't so steadfast in who I was as a person and who I was and, like, Jesus, I would have believed that, oh, I can't get married or, oh, I'm not gonna do that. But I was just like, I've always had this mindset of, like, what we're doing now is so, it is important, and being and releasing music and the fans are important. All of it's important, but also it's like in 30 years, I don't want to look back, or in 40 years, I don't want to look back and be like, what legacy did I leave behind? And the legacy that you leave behind, of course, is in music or whatever, but it's also in your children and your marriage and who you impact. And so I was just like, I don't care what you say. And if I make a mistake, I make a mistake, but let me do that myself. But like, I know this is right, and I'm not going to miss out on the love of my life. I'm not going to let, you know, just ancient dudes who are married and have a bunch of kids and have lived life tell me how to live my life. Mm. Like, and I think back if I would have listened to them, and it's like, I'm about to celebrate my 9th year of marriage, and I look at my baby girl, Daisy, and she'll be 3 in September. She's 2.5. And it's like, I'm better in music. I'm a better songwriter. I'm a better everything because of my husband, because of my child. And I see my fans, and my fans aren't single, running the streets, like, whatever. No, they're women who are married, who are raising children. I mean, not all of them might be married, but you know what I'm saying? They're adults, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to appeal to the younger audience, too. Like, if you like my music, hell yeah, jump on. But like, I feel like the one thing that I've really settled into is like being right where I'm at and that being like, okay. And I think the reason why I didn't go rogue when I was younger, like you were saying, back to your question, full circle, is because I had a stability with my husband and my faith, you know?
Something I have noticed in the music industry now, because I've been in it like 20 years, and so many different life versions of myself, is nobody knows anything. People have good ideas, yeah, and people have like done stuff that works, and there are some formulas, and there are some definitely like,
There's a system.
But
it doesn't work for everybody.
But it doesn't work for everybody. And as soon as you're not hot, these people who would have told you, don't get married, don't do all this, but as soon as like you're not hot for 1 second, they throw you away anyway, and they don't care where you made these big life decisions based on their thoughts. But now if it's not working and you're not the hot sizzling thing, it's like they're going to get rid of you anyway. And then you made these decisions for them that now you're stuck with like all this, just the ashes that you didn't really, that weren't really true to you anyway. And so I feel like that's why it gets so confusing for young people in the music industry and this field, because they're listening to all these older people who are just trying to make money off of them. And
they don't really care.
And they don't really care.
And the ones that do care, like, there are people, and they know who they are, that have been with me through different multiple work record deals. The ones that actually care are your fans for life, and they'll pick up the phone when you call. I mean, I have friends in this industry, I mean, because I've been here for 12 years, that know me, that, you know, understand, like, who I am as a songwriter, artist, mother, all of it. And when I call them, they'd pick up the phone and answer at any time because I have those relationships. And those are the people, like, that's one thing that I will say, is the industry is full of people, like you said, but they're also full of incredible people that would, you know, be there for you through anything. And I've definitely seen that too. Like, that's why when I'm talking to like a new artist in town, and it's so crazy. Now I've become the artist that like goes to coffee.
Like a mentor.
Like mentor, which I actually love. Like, I am so thankful for the women that were, you know, held my hand on the way up. And I think it's so important. And it's like, I'm still learning too. But the one thing that I always say is make genuine relationships. Don't be fake. Like, when you go to lunch with somebody.
Don't you have a song called
like,
Fake Girl
Town? Yeah, Fake Girl Town. But like, when you go to lunch with somebody, get to know them as a person before you can figure out what they can do for you. I'm not saying you shouldn't network and try to figure out ways to work together. That's not the point. You should. But you never, like, get to know the person. Get to know them. And those are the relationships of mine that have lasted forever. And be there for them. And that is bigger than anything that you can do in this industry, is when you can impact somebody. And then you know, cause it's like, life's going to move on. People get, first of all, music industry is like musical chairs. Somebody could get a big job, or somebody could end up working somewhere else, and you be there for them through a time that they need to be. So it's just like, when I think about, you know, the landscape of me being here, and I think about all the different positions, people that I know have, you know, some people have gone here, some people aren't doing music anymore that were hot when I was like artists, like it, and then it's like you get to see them again and you just know the life that they've lived, and it's just, it's cool. It's cool. But that's why I always say, like, get to know somebody truly for themselves. And if, I mean, of course you're going to collaborate, but people want to collaborate with people that they love.
Totally.
You know,
and I feel like
they do anything for you if you're a good person.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So I agree with you. So you don't want to get like dazzled or glamored by all the stuff in the beginning. It's so important to get to the depth of it, which is really hard to do when you're young.
It is hard to do. It's really hard. I've always been an old soul though.
Yeah, you're really special.
I was hanging out with I didn't hang out with anybody my age.
You've always hung out with older people.
I always hung out with older people. It was hilarious. I remember being at like, sorry, I'm going to say it. I was, you know, underage at Losers, okay, getting through the back door. And I'm hanging out with all the old, like, and at the time, like, I was my 18. They were like in their 30s, 40s. But I've always been an old soul. And like, you know, people, I had so many like brothers that would look out for me. Like obviously Blake, like everybody that was here were just like, and the songwriters, like everybody looked at me like their little sister. And it felt, I was so, when I say I was so blessed, like it was epic. But I mean, I always hung out with older people. Like I didn't even really find friends my age until I would say till like my early 20s, you know? But I don't really like, I mean, me and Maddie and Tay hung out a lot. And I still love those girls, like, but because we went on radio tour together.
And they're still rocking.
They're still rocking. I mean, we always talk, me and us three have probably lived a lot of the same life because we came here at the same time. We were at the same, you know, publishing company for a while. I think they're still there. And then now we all have babies. So we've all, like, been through life together. And we like, literally, when I tell you, I saw them every week on the road for, like, 2 years doing radio tour when we were both on that schedule. Like, that was our life. So but there's somebody like just love.
I want to talk about some specific songs.
Yeah.
But have you weathered some hard storms in this industry where you felt like it's over or like, cause you came out hot as can be. And then, you know, like with everything that comes out, there's going to be like a dip and then a rise and a dip. And I interviewed Marie Osborne one time and she was like, you know, I asked her advice. She's like, just be nice to everybody because you see everybody on the way up, you see people coming down and it's going to switch. And it's like, you're going to see the people going up and down. It's like an elevator, you know, it's like, and if you can ride it, you're going to be up and you're going to be down for a long time. It's just a wave. Was there ever a moment in the beginning where you're like, oh my gosh, like I am like, I can't handle this. Or like, it felt like, did you ever have a low moment?
Oh my God. I had tons of low moments. I can vividly remember two or three. I remember after one of my singles, I think it was For a Boy. You know, because God Made Girls peaked at like 15 or something like that. And when they released For a Boy to country radio, and then I right before I went on stage, and I just like, at this point, I was already in a mental fog. You can tell by my outfit. I mean, I will show you. I don't even know what the hell I wore on stage to the Riverfront stage. I was wearing, I actually showed this picture to my girlfriend because I was like, remember when I wore this on stage? I was wearing like tights with shorts. I was figuring, by the way, I was figuring out who the hell I was. I was wearing, one time I was wearing like Care Bear tops with freaking Doc Martens. And I'm like, I had the worst style.
I feel like that, like, could be cute.
It was cute, but it was like, but like I said, I was figuring out who the hell I was in front of the world. Like,
that's,
and I was
lot.
Just trying to be funky and cool and do something different, you know? And now I'm back to cowgirl boots and jeans and petticoats. Like, you know, you always come back around. But I'm just saying, like, I remember when they told me right before I got on stage, which was so shitty. They're like, hey, we're pulling your single from country.
Right before you go on the river.
Said it. Not kidding.
Right before you go on the riverfront stage in front of thousands of fans. That's just cruel.
And I was just like, wow.
And now you're supposed to go perform?
And now I'm supposed to go perform. And then I was just like, all right, well, maybe this is not for me. Like, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. And then somebody else said, like, I think Ray's lost the fire. And I was like, what's the fire? Like, what the fire is, I got, like, because that was around the time I got married. And I was still saying yes to everything. Like, I just didn't understand, you know, but obviously new people were being signed, new excitement. And I was just like, okay, like, I see what's going on.
That was there's new puppies.
There's new puppies. And then
you're not the new puppy anymore.
I put together a project, brought it in, you know, it was told that it was vanilla. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, but this is my story. This is whatever. And that was a low point for me. But it's so funny because it was super low. And then I left that situation, went to another label. And then they listened to the project and was like, holy crap, like, this is amazing. Ended up being a number one Billboard record, which was Wild Horse.
Wow.
Such a vanilla record, huh?
And that's why, you know, you just can't, you cannot, listen to everybody's opinion of you.
Two, it's like, some people can't see your vision and that's okay. Like, and that's one thing. Another thing I tell artists too, like, if I'm talking to somebody new, it's like, hey, just because somebody doesn't understand your vision, it doesn't mean that your vision's shit. Like,
exactly.
Take it somewhere else. Like,
they're not the only people with opinions.
Like, they're not the only person with opinions. If they don't understand it, you don't want them to be on your team. You want people on your team that understand.
That you don't have to convince.
You don't have to convince to love you. If, and like that, I get so discouraged when I see an artist get discouraged because a label didn't like them. And I'm like, who gives a shit? You have everything you need to be an artist right now. Do it. And then let the fans come to you and then go get, like, a label situation. Like, it's just so different. But anyways, that was a low point for me. But then, you know, it went high.
But you didn't give up.
Didn't give up.
So did you went and shopped it.
Went and shopped it, found a home for it. And then.
But that takes courage to be told that you're a vanilla, especially when you're this young.
Yeah.
And to have the confidence to go out there and put it out there when these big high executives told you it's not good.
I remember the time I was like, all right. This sucks. And Josh was like, no, this is great. Like, this record's great. You can do it. And I was like, I hate you, but okay, let's try it. And then we did that. And then when I think the biggest heartbreak for me was radio, because, you know, you're told, oh, I'm going to add your song, or, oh, I'm going to love you. I'm going to, you know, you're such a star. You're so this. You capture a room. You're everything that you want an artist, blah, 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 blah. You hear it. And then you're just let down, let down, let down. And it's like, dude, like, what am I doing wrong? And then you have to realize it's not you. Like, and when I got to that point, that helped me. But another low point was probably, was it 2020? I think everybody had low times in 2020, but it was probably after I had Daisy and I had a new perspective of life. You know, when you become a mom, it's just, life matters, but not as much. Because you're like, totally. Okay, yes, I love what I do, but being her mom is the most important thing. Like, that euphoric newborn feeling, like, when I was nursing Daisy, and it was like, she was 2 weeks old, I was like, I'm never going to be on the road again. You know, and then you get back, and you're like, all right, like, I miss it. And then you bring her out, and, like, now I see Daisy on the road, and I bring her on the tour bus, and she's just, like, killing it. She loves it. She loves the bus. She loves all of it. But I, you know, the first year with her was so much fun. But, you know, I was at a point where I just wasn't, like, booking as many shows, and I just felt pretty low, and it was the end of, I think it was the end of 2021.
You couldn't tour, too, because COVID.
Really tour. Touring was still not really back up and running, and I was just like, and I think I posted on my Instagram, but I literally had nothing else to do but go. It was like, well, we can only go up from here. You know, like, all right, well, let's see where this goes. But I was just like, when I first moved to town, like the Lord, I was praying. I was like, God, what do I do? Like, you know, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what my word should be for this year. I don't want a stupid word. Like, I don't know what to do. And he said, I literally, like, they say you, and I don't, sometimes I don't believe people can hear audibly for war, but I really did, like, hear him say, like, bet on me. Like, bet on me. And then I was reminded, when I first moved to town in 2012 and lived at an apartment in the Gulch, before the Gulch was what it was, I didn't have anybody to bet on. I woke up every day just excited to be here with my guitar on my back, you know, extensions from Sally's that didn't match in my hair, you know, like, pumped as hell. Like, everything was exciting. Nothing was not exciting. And I was just, like, happy as hell because I knew I was living my purpose out. I wasn't jaded by this industry. I was just doing what I love because I love to do it. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the who liked me, who didn't. I was just doing what was right in front of me, going through the doors that were opening for me. And if a door would be closed, I'd be like, I really will say, as a when I was like 18, 19, 20, like, I would just let stuff roll back. Like, oh, if it's closed, it's not meant to be. Like, I was, that's how I was. I was bulletproof. And I lost a little bit of that.
Because you get into this system where you think it has to be a certain
way. It has to be a certain way. And like you said, it can't. It doesn't have to. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to walk. Every win is a win. Every failure is a closed door. And it's not a failure. It's just a chapter
that's closed. It's God saying, not this way. I'm going to continue
just to focus and bet on the Lord and just see what happens. And doing that, you know, my first independent record had over 100 million streams. Like, I've gotten to release a children's book. I've gotten to just do things outside of the box, like do my first clothing collab. I've always wanted to do stuff in fashion.
Buddy Loves. With Buddy Loves.
So cute. And
it's
got
to
be like a boot line. Like, I've just gotten to do so many things. I've gotten to release music. I love music that I'm passionate about, songs. Like, I've gotten to travel the world with my child, like bring her on the road. I was told that that wouldn't be a thing. No, my daughter goes with me on the bus. She's the best kid ever on the bus. Like, it's just everything that I've wanted for my life and more has happened. And I now, like, I was like, all right, well, this is fun. Like, betting on God is cool. Like, why haven't we been doing this our whole life? And it's just like, but I think you can't, I think it's great to have goals, but I think it's always like, how much are you going to get done Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4? Well, who cares? I want to focus on what's right in front of me. What's the next great song I can put out? What's the next move? Mm. And that's honestly where I've been in the last year and a half, 2 years, and just trusting in God's plan and focusing on my family, focusing on my husband, getting my mind right. I think it's taking me a while to be like spiritually and mentally sound. Mm. It's like, processing just the jump start of my career, jump start of life, family, all that stuff. Like, it's hard, you know, but I feel like I'm now in this like season of I'm okay if I'm not okay, and I'm okay if it all fizzled out tomorrow, and I'm okay if it all keeps on going, you know. It's just,
yes.
And I think that that's where the best music is made too, and I'm really excited about this next project.
I feel you on the letting go and letting God so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and I'm just feel like I'm just not getting it
to
40. I've had seasons where I've done that, and it's been the best seasons of my life. And then I take control back, and then I try to, like, you know, hold it really tight.
Have you seen that meme? It's like the guy behind the door, and he said, when you let God have control, but you're just checking on him. You're like, hey, I'm just checking. Are you going to come in for this? I don't know if you are.
Test, are you there?
Test.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to let you have control, but I'm still going to be a control freak.
I'm going to let you have control, God, okay?
Yeah, you can't do that. You just got to relax,
but
dude.
Finally, though, God will not, for me at least, and I've realized this through a lot of podcast interviews and like talking to you, it's like, finally, I feel like God will take you to the mat enough to when you finally are on that mat and you're looking up and you're like, okay, I tap out. Like, I'm out. Here. I don't have any more moves. Like, I am out of moves. I literally have played them all.
Yeah.
I don't have one more. I don't have any clue what to do next. So then it's like, basically, I feel like
for the first time in my life, I woke up in 2024 this year and I was like, my year is lighthearted. It's freedom. And it's freedom because I'm letting God direct it. I've been trying to plan it. I've been I've been upset that things haven't gone a certain way. You know, had heartbreak, had disappointments.
And it's okay to grieve those things. Like, it's okay to want things for your life. You know, I think the hardest part about growing up in a Christian home, and I'm very thankful, I love Jesus more than anything, is I got so obsessed with, like, first of all, I do believe in you're supposed to be thankful. Like, I thank you, Jesus, for this and staying in a thankful heart. But I think I stayed so much in a place of I can't be upset about that because I got to be grateful that I never, like, fully, like, grieved certain things that actually, like, I should have grieved. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Because I never wanted to let myself grieve because I felt I can't grieve because I don't want God to think that I'm not thankful. Like, and I'm, because I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for my daughter. But no, it's okay to
feel it.
Feel it and be sad. Like, be sad. But you got to get back up.
Well, you can know, like, that whatever. God is still in control and guiding you, but you're just in a really low.
You can still be sad. And I think that's the thing, is I kind of pushed down those feelings for a lot of years of like, oh, I can't be upset about that because God did this. And it's good to stay in that mindset because I do believe that you should. One of the biggest things that my mother-in-law said to me, oh my God, I love my mother-in-law. But she said, anytime you're feeling super woe is me, 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 and you're low about yourself, she said, go do something for somebody else.
Mm.
Go take somebody some food. Go take somebody lunch that you know needs it. And it always got me out of a funk, and I love that. But also, you do have to grieve some things, and I think that that's okay. And
well, necessary.
And then when you do, like, properly go through things, you can, when you do have another win or something like that, you're good, and then you're excited, you know?
Well, and it just makes you such a more, the highs are great, but you don't cling for the high, you don't cling for the low, you know it's all
gonna
come
and go. Oh my God, I always say I'm just jaded enough. I say that now, like, and the moment's like, oh my God, I didn't feel it. I was like, great, girl, you know,
I'm loving it.
Good, you know, we're all back on the road, you know, putting out the music. How you feel about that? Awesome. And then when it's low, I'm like, cool, been here before, you know what I mean? I think it makes you bulletproof.
And it that's does. Because you know it can come.
That's why I would never change. Like, because I was like, if I looked back, I think I would maybe just, if I had to change something, which I won't, but if I did, let's say I did, I would have started music later in life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, professionally.
Mm.
But then I think about all the cool shit that I've gotten to do as a, like, 18-year-old, like, playing the Grand Ole Opry. Like, I mean, like, there's things that, like, that's what I'm saying. I would never change my journey, but if I did, like, that would be what it is. But, like, that's the thing, is you never, but I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through what I've gone through. So,
okay. So I want to talk about a few of your songs in particular.
Let's do it.
Because first off, like, everyone's childhood, whether you feel like you have a perfect childhood or you have a really traumatic childhood.
Every childhood goes through their,
yeah, you're going to have to, like, process your childhood.
Yeah.
And so you actually had a pretty intense childhood.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to your story a lot. Like, I didn't realize your mom had 4 kids and was married. Like, I thought your parents just got married and had you and then got divorced. But it's like, there's a really huge story to your beginning.
Huge gap. Yeah.
And, like, so you, okay, tell a little bit about your story. Because Love Triangle, and then you kind of answer Love Triangle with The Broken One. I feel like, is that like the answer to
it?
Yes,
it's definitely the answer.
Oh,
and then like, She Chose Me.
She Chose Me. Yeah. Like, you almost, your mom was in such a situation that, like, she almost chose an abortion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you almost weren't here.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. Mm. This is so much to process at 17 when you're growing up in front of the world and, like, you're learning about your childhood and you're even, like, figuring out what divorce is and, like, figuring out what your parents went through. You don't even know, you know? Like, it's hard to even, like, understand that.
I feel like I'm like an onion, obviously, and the Lord's just, like, peeling back certain layers. And I didn't really know my parents' full story. Like, I knew, obviously, the divorce, going through that, Love Triangle.
Was your mom, do you know are you close to the four siblings?
Oh, yeah. We're super close. They're my siblings.
Your mom and her first husband, did they still get along?
Yeah, they're still getting along. Great.
Did your dad mom get along now?
Yeah, everybody's great.
But there was a season when they didn't get along.
Yeah, well, I would just say, like,
Uncle Joe. Everybody's great.
Uncle Joe.
I mean, that's a testament to everyone in your family.
I think it's just a testament to Jesus, honestly. It's
the
like,
fact that everybody can get over that,
you, I don't, like, I think the thing is like, you just have to, when kids are involved and, like, grandkids, you've got to be like, okay, are we going to focus on this? Or are we going to focus on, you know,
the pain, the hurt, the hurt, the situation?
Because everybody's hurt, but are we going to focus on that? Or are we going to continue to move forward and be a family, right? And I think that that's kind of where my family was always at. I
mean, I'm an only child with your mom and dad?
Yes, I'm the only child. So my mom and dad, they got divorced when I was 3 years old. They were a match made in hell. They should have never gotten married.
It you
was
should like, write that song.
I know, genuinely, I have it on my notes.
How is your mom, but did your mom and dad, also, like, you've exposed their life in your songs, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been hard and healing. For it, you know.
But also, maybe
my dad
heal.
Gets really emotional during my sets. I'm like, Dad, leave during this song. Leave during this song. It's okay. Like, he's very emotional. But I, you know, so... Love Triangle.
Match made in hell.
They really were. You know how you normally have one crazy parent? I have two wild parents.
That's like, probably why
they're
passion.
They're different kind of wild. Like, my mom's loud, wild, you know, whatever. My dad is like Louisiana Kunas crazy. Like, he is like a character out of, like, a book. He'd be in Talladega Nights. Like, not even kidding you. Like, he is hilarious.
That's probably why there's some and serious passion there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could totally see it. But I, so yeah, when I... You know, it was really hard for me because I felt like when I first moved to town, I was just writing a bunch of songs that were just like pop bops that didn't really like, I mean, they were fun. They were different.
But you're like, man, I don't have pain. And I need like, to get out of here.
And I was like, I feel like, well, I've never really been brokenhearted or like, I was like, I don't think I've gone through any pain. Like, I haven't gone through anything. And like,
right.
I was like mad. I was like, where's my trauma?
Oh, dude, you found it.
And then
oh, it showed up.
I... was, you know, somebody that I really look up to is like, you know, write where you're at. Like, show up to every write and write where you're at. And so I was headed to a write with Nicole Gallion and Jimmy
Robbins.
Was
like a mentor for you.
She's a big mentor to me. She's still like a big sister to me. And I was headed to a write with them, with those two. And thank God they were people that I trusted. And they were new friends, but they felt like old friends. And I sit down and I was like, y'all, I got to be honest. I'm so like irritated right now. Like, I'm going through all this stuff with my parents. You know, I'm 19. Why am I still in the middle? Like, I'm just over this shit. Like,
did your parents not get along for a long time?
It's not that they didn't get along. It's just tense. You know, and I think about, like, if I was in their shoes, like, it's just tense. Like, you just, you know, like, when you're around your mom, when you talk about, when you love your being with your dad too much, that she's probably getting her feelings hurt, vice versa.
That's just a lot.
And when I think about Daisy, you know, I would never want, if we weren't together, like, let's say, and which is never going to happen, like, I would never, but also, like, what if I had a lot of pain towards Josh? Like, I don't know, like, so, but kids pick up on everything. Daisy, like, I was being funny and put a color pencil in my mouth a couple days ago, and she puts a color pencil in her mouth and starts laughing. So it's like, kids pick up, they mimic, they see, and they know, oh, if I'm talking about daddy, mommy gets a little squirmy, or like, mommy gets, and it's like, it's not like it was outwardly like, but it was just, it was this tense feeling and like, I just, you know, hated it, you know, and I just, and other things, but.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The love triangle, I mean, that one, that is the most heartbreaking, truest, the best divorce song from a child's perspective I have ever heard in my entire life.
And I am, it's so funny because when I go back and listen to it, I don't even, this might be very blonde of me to admit, I don't even realize, like, because Love Triangle was such a whirlwind too. Like the chorus, like, you know, maybe it's because I'm married now and I have a daughter, but some mamas and daddies living in a straight line. Like just the way that the lines just go together and like seeing fans, like that song has been my biggest connection with my fans in so many ways. But when we were writing
Nicole and Jimmy,
I was like, I'm really sad. Let's write an upbeat song today. And I was like, I have a title name called Love Triangle. Let's write it about me, you know, falling in love with having two guys that I think are cute or whatever. And then I said that right when I came in before I started being emotional. And she was like, okay, you know, they're just trying to be sweet or whatever. And then I was like, and then like, I think it was Nicole or somebody like my, I was just, I got really down and you can tell because I'm a very uppy person. Like, you know, when you see a text message and you're just like, whatever. And she's like, what's going on? And then I just started like venting about what it's like to be stuck in between two parents. And then when I started talking, they all looked at each other and we were like, oh, this is what love triangle is supposed to mean.
There's God again.
God at the end. Yeah. And it's like, and then we.
God though, making that moment.
Yeah.
For you.
It was literally like a little songbird went on our shoulders that day. And we wrote that song within a couple hours, like 2.5 hours. It was so fast. And it was crazy because I was just meeting with a new manager the next day, and her name was Carrie Hansen. And Carrie, you know, managed the Judds and Jonah Smith. Like at the time, she had like cute few acts, but the biggest person was the Judds and Wynonna Judd. And I was going to meet with her. And I remember I had like a beanie on, a sweatshirt. I just didn't really care because I was just like going between rides. I was like, hey, this is the only time I can work. I'm not going to look like a star that day, but you can see through the mess, hopefully. And
you always look like a star, Raylan. I'm so sorry. You can't hide it. You can't hide that shine.
You're very sweet. But I walked in and we're talking and I'm playing her some songs and she was really sweet. And I was like, oh, wait, I got a new song that I just wrote yesterday called Love Triangle. Can I listen to it on your speaker? And the first time I listened to Love Triangle, I was in a room with the girl that ended up being my manager. But she, like, I'll never forget, I played it for her. And she was like, she like looked at me and I was like, and then I'm crying and processing like, oh, this song's actually really good, like whatever, in front of this girl I just met. And I was like, sorry, like, it's so funny. And then, you know, ended up changing my life. Like, and two, I will say Love Triangle was one of the first songs in town that got me a lot of credibility as a songwriter and put me in rooms with songwriters I would have never dreamed of working with. And it just really like jump-started that side of everything for me. Like, oh, she's not just the kitschy girl.
And that's when you really started diving into the truth.
And that's when I really just started diving into the truth. It's like, okay, yeah, keep up's fun. Rowdy's fun. That's definitely
and
my
that's a part of you.
Oh my gosh. But it's not all of me. And, you know, as I've continued this journey, I've realized, okay, my fans grasp, obviously they love the fun songs, but they really grasped towards the storytelling with me and me talking more about my life. And as I've started to uncover things in my life, the biggest way for me to process something emotionally in my life is to write about it. And, you know, when I processed, I found out a couple years into my marriage with Josh that, and I started just asking questions like, oh, you know, when did mom get pregnant with me? Or like, when did this happen? And, or, you know, whatever. And the timeline just wasn't lining up. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I found out that my mom, you know, almost, you know, had an abortion with me.
Because she was going to maybe go back with her husband.
She was going to get back together with her husband. And I thought about that. I was like, okay, like, because I always try to put myself in other people's shoes, right? And like, think about, obviously I can't feel what my mom felt. But she had to have been really, really, really freaking low.
Really low.
Really low to think, oh, you know, I have to end this child's life. After she already had four, know what life's like, know what a child's like. Like, you have to be at a very low spot.
And to be in the situation where she is ready to be with someone else, too. Yeah, you know,
like, it's like, but and I think times have changed in that. Like, because I think back then, you know, you would have to get a divorce and get married to the other person. But I think now, you know, hopefully you could work it out in Jesus' name. It would take a lot of Jesus and not have to give up your whole life to do the right thing. Does that make sense?
Right. And even how you said, she shows me, like, people talk in that small town. Yeah, and everybody has opinions.
Everybody has opinions. And I, you know, and I wrote She Chose Me. I was like, damn, like, this song is really great. Because I wanted it to come from a perspective of, you know.
She had the appointment.
Yeah, she had the appointment and everything. And I was like, I want to write a song. How do you write a song that talks about such a deep subject but not come across judgmental, but also not even just that, like, you know, because everything's so political and, you know, black and white and this and this and, like, everybody's
right
so,
and
like,
left
right,
and
all of it. And it's like, I'm not that. I just want to love people and write music and be authentic. But if I'm not being authentic to myself, then why am I in music? Like, freaking Johnny Cash wrote hard songs. Loretta Lynn wrote hard songs. Dolly Parton wrote hard songs. Like, and that's what made them the artists they are today. And if I feel like I can't even write about it, like, then we're in a really bad spot, right? And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write my story. And if that's what I'm doing, I'm sticking to the story and we'll see what happens. And we wrote She Chose Me. And I wasn't going to put it on my project.
Were you worried about your mom?
No. Sorry, Mom. No, you know what? I wasn't worried because I, first of all, you know.
It was her choice.
It was her choice. And two, like, I felt like this song is going to do so much good. And it goes to show that everybody's human. Mm. We're all human. We all go through low moments. And it's all about how you handle those low moments. And obviously, thank you, Jesus, I'm here. But, like, I think that there's more good that this is going to do being out than bad. And so anyways, like I said, I wasn't going to put it out. And I was just like, this is more for me. Like, it's like writing in a diary.
Why weren't you going to put it out?
I'll tell you why.
Oh.
So I was like, this is the song, like, I wrote. It'd be like me writing in my diary. I don't want you to know anything. This is my song. She Chose Me. It's mine.
Was, like, it kind of, like, hurtful to you to think that you might have been, like, was that kind of, like, hard for you to let people, like, know that you might have been aborted?
Yes, and I didn't know how people would receive that. Like, because at that time when I released it, I mean, it was very, everything was very political. Everything was very heated. Everybody got upset about everything. And I was like, well, I don't want somebody to get a negative view on me, who I am as a person, because of the song that I'm releasing. But anyways, I was like, all right, we're just going to shelve this song for a little bit. We'll just put it over here. And I did a podcast with Tom Douglas, the Let Me Tell Me About Your Father. And I ended up, you know, airing out everything. We were talking about everything. I mean, there's something about Tom Douglas.
Oh, God. Like, he's like the best songwriter in the world.
It's like, so just imagine talking with him.
Yeah. He's like writing the song of your life in the podcast.
Yeah. He's literally like, here's your life in a song.
And it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And so I tell him about this. I start breaking down crying. It was great. Not great, but, you know.
Cathartic.
It was very cathartic. And so Ross Copperman, who is the guy that's helping him produce the podcast out.
Man, what a dream. Hey. Tom Douglas and Ross Copperman. Yeah.
And so he said, do you mind if I play She Chose Me at the end of the podcast? And I was like,
oh, great. Yeah,
who
go
cares?
For it.
Go for it. And I think that they got over like 30,000 downloads. Like, it was wild how big that podcast got from that one story. It was wild. It got huge. Like, and I was like, oh my God, what the heck? And I saw such a surge in love for She Chose Me. And I was like, you know what? It's just going to live on that podcast. It'll just be something that lives on the podcast. Well, I was picking records for Baytown, songs for Baytown, my latest full-length album, which is titled after my hometown. Every country artist has got a title, a record after their hometown. You just got to let them do it. And I had this reoccurring dream three nights in a row.
Does that happen to you often?
Not reoccurring ones, okay. You know. And I'm not very like, I know when I feel like a dream is worthwhile. And then some dreams I'm like, okay, that meant nothing. But then I was, but when you have some, when you have the same dream three nights in a row, like God is definitely telling you something. And I was sitting down with my manager and another person I look up to in the industry, and I was going through my songs, like, for my record. And I was like, this song, She Chose Me. And I just said, She Chose Me, three different times. And
in the dream.
In the dream. I'm just going through, same dream, going through the list of songs. I kept saying, She Chose Me. And I was like, all right, God, well, obviously, you want this song to go on the record. So we put it on the record. The record comes out a week after I have Daisy, so emotions are high.
Oh, man. You know? Gosh, you have birthed a record and a baby in the same week?
Well, we had everything in the can, but yes, the record came out.
Gosh, yeah. that's a big moment.
My legs were still swollen from that that freaking epidural. You know what I mean? I had my compression socks on.
Praylin!
When I look back at my knees, I'm like, damn, like how did those, I remember looking at my ankles, I was like, maybe one day I'll see my ankles again. Like, you know how it is.
It's but your like little nervous system has gone through so much. Like, you yeah. put yourself out there on such a big level always.
So I am, you know, breastfeeding Daisy. New album came out. Watching Gilmore Girls. And I literally videos just start flying in of She Chose Me. Like, when I tell you, thousands and thousands of videos. I think between all the platforms, there's almost a million videos out there now.
People like, choosing life?
Choosing life. Young girls telling their stories. People choosing adoption. People choosing, like, IVF. People choosing, just people advocating for life and children. And I was just like, and just being, I mean, I still, like, tear up talking about it because I was just like, dude, this is what music's about. It's not about the fluff. It's not about where your song ends up on a chart. It's about affecting people's lives. And if, like, and I've always said, if my song touches one person, if it changes one heart, then I've done my job.
You've done your job, right?
And, like, I think back at that moment, and I was like, you know, I know that God has me here for a reason. And this song really changed my perspective of what I thought about the music that I put out. And I was like, you know what? I will never not go with my gut on what I'm supposed to put out. And then, you know, that song obviously took off. Keep Up did really well, which was fun. And, you know, I released Broken One. And
that one.
Broken One. Oh. I teased it on Instagram. And I think it had like a couple thousand like comments. And it kind of just took off. And basically the story behind Broken One is, you know, you found a home and a girl from a broken one. And it's finding love and finding a resting place and finding a partner when all you've known is separation. And I think the biggest part for me was feeling good enough for Josh. And even though I knew I was good enough, I knew the Lord rewrote my story. I know what God says about me. But I was like, damn, like I, like when I first went to see Josh's, I'll never forget, it was kind of a culture shock because I'm used to split homes. I'm used to holidays being chaotic, going to this person, this person, this person. And I'm not saying any of that's bad. I'm like, everybody's life perspective is different, and they make them who they are. And it makes them who they are.
But did you feel?
But like, when I went to his house in Georgia, you know, meeting his mom with his dad, seeing them together, loving each other. Never seen that. And walking up and down the hallway and seeing all these cute photos from, like, you know, they're all wearing the same outfit, cute as hell, like photos of Josh. And I was just like, damn, like, this is the dream. This is wild. And I've gotten to do some of the coolest things in life. But what Josh's mom and dad have done are cooler than anything that I've ever done. Like, the family, the love, the children, all their kids love them, all their kids. Nobody's perfect. Every family's got their shit. But, like, it's not about that. Like, the legacy that they're going to leave behind, damn, like, this is what I want for my life. And so I'm in the writing room with my buddies, Justin Morgan and Jason Duke. And, you know, it's so crazy. So Justin's wife, her parents are divorced. Jason's wife, her parents are divorced. And then both of their parents are married.
Mm.
So they both have felt it from a marriage perspective with their wife. Like, I remember the first fight me and Josh had. I'm like, oh, he's gone. He's leaving my crazy ass. Like, you know, I was thinking, because that's all I've known. I'm like, okay. And I was like, oh, he stayed.
Oh.
okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just that feeling of like, and so we wrote, and then I had the idea Broken Home, and then it ended up being the track being, you know, he found a home and a girl from a broken one. And I love that song because it's like the buck stops with me. Like when I, you know, I see my daughter and I see the life that we have now. And I always tell this to, I'll tell this to Josh's dad, because Josh's dad came from a broken home too. And he prayed every day over his children. Like, he's like, I prayed a blessing over them. I prayed that the spirit, like, almost like the divorce spirit that was on, you know, with my parents, that it would be broken, that all my kids would be married, that they would have great marriages, long lasting marriages. And I said, isn't it so funny, when you prayed that over your son, you also broke that off of, like, you prayed that over me too. And I said, you didn't even know that, like, you weren't just touching like his life, you were touching my life too. And it's just like, but that's how God works. He's like, he has his, we think we have our way of praying, like, oh, I want this, but you don't understand who else like that a prayer is affecting. And yeah, I mean, that Broken One has been one that's been a great song. And it is the answer to Love Triangle, because it's like, what happens after a love triangle? Where does that girl go? And that's why that song was, you know, birthed through the process after, you know, Love Triangle. So, Broken One.
And I feel like I didn't come from a divorced family, but I feel, Michael did. He came from a divorced family. And I feel like,
Your dad's awesome. He got bit by a shark, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I always remember that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can never
forget. In the face. Yeah. He was so happy. Like, he literally got
bit by a freaking shark in the face. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Every time I think about your dad, like, I think I told Josh, I was like, yeah, her dad got bit by a shark.
Yeah, he did. He's got extreme energy. Like, dad is.
He's great.
He's great.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So I feel though, like, your little spirit, your little soul was looking for a resting place.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you have love with your mom and your dad and your family.
It's not
just
about
like,
that. It's just
you were just all over the place. Like, you could not rest. Like, your whole childhood, you had no place to rest.
Yeah.
Because you were always torn, you know?
Yes, and when you, it's crazy that you say that because, like, my therapist said that to me. She said, I think you've always had to go, go, go. Holidays, go, go, go. This.
You have to be happy.
But when you're with Josh and when you're with his family, you rest. You stay in one spot. You get to relax. Like, you get to take off the Raylan blanket and actually be yourself, and you don't have to be anything else, you know?
Did you feel like you kind of had to, like, keep everybody
everything's
spot?
Entertaining, wah, 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 this, that.
Because you don't want to feel the sadness when you're a kid.
No.
You're already feeling enough.
And you continue to go, and I have that personality. I want to go, go, go instead of dealing with stuff because it just helps me just to
not have to deal with the sadness.
Feel it. Just keep on going. But Josh has been a resting place, and his family has been that for me, too. But that... Yeah, and the video is my favorite.
That video is so good.
That video is so great. It starts off with Love Triangle, and then it goes into Broken One, and I just, you know, but that's what music's about, and I'm very, very, very excited about this new chapter.
Tell me about the new chapter. What's the new, because you've spilled your heart, and I feel like you have to do that. You have to go through your pain, you have to process it, and you've processed it through your songs, and you shared it with the world and let other people heal through it. Which is such a gift, Raylan. And the fact that you never went rogue and you were able to keep yourself together enough not to, like, you know, really have to pick up the pieces of a mental breakdown. Not that we don't all have breakdowns. But, like, you know, you've been able to, like, hold it. And Josh has been that for you.
Oh, yeah.
That safe spot. But it's like,
biggest safe spot.
You've healed yourself and so many other people by your vulnerability. And the fact that you've been willing to share this really hard, painful story through song.
And I think that that's what I'm continuing to do is just...
Do you feel like the pain isn't there as much, though, now that you've shared it?
No.
Like, it's more of a scar instead of an open wound?
Yes, that's it. And honestly, it's not, you know, I think, you know, I always say it's like, I'm grateful for it. Like, I always think that everybody's got to go through a little something,
right?
You
did the work to heal it. You didn't just let, you didn't tuck it.
I'm thankful I did it young, and I'm thankful I had the right people around me. And the one thing, another thing is, like, replacing things in my life with good people and good habits. Like, that's been a big thing. It's like, you know, who can I lean on that was this person in my life now? Like, that's a healthy person. So it's just like finding those people around you that you can bring around. But this new chapter, I'm just, you know, I'm writing where I'm at. I don't go to a write unless I'm inspired. I'm not going to write 5 days a week.
You probably know who you want to write with too.
I know who I want to write with. Or I'll write with new people. I love writing with new people because they are out of the, you know, music row bubble and they just think outside of the box, and that's what I want. But I think now that the music industry has changed so much with, like, streaming and, like, your platform is just on your phone, it's just everything is so different now. There's no, you know, black and white way of doing things that it's given me the freedom to be super creative, and I'm not worried about...
So you like how it's evolved?
I love the way it's evolved. I think... The biggest thing for me is finding my, you know, ecosystem of what I think it should be like, because it is like the Wild West right now.
And there's so much.
And there's so many ways to put out your music. There's so many platforms you can focus on that'll pop you off or whatever. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to keep on releasing music, do this, tour, and see what the Lord has, and just do what feels like the next right thing.
Amen. And, Lord, I feel you on that.
But this project is coming together so great. It's obviously, like, a lot of heart. It's, you know, being married for almost 9 years, that comes with its highs and lows and all those things, and, like, talking about that and being really honest about, like, what's it like to say, no, I'm, like, we're in this. Like, every year me and Josh look at you like, we're really doing it, aren't we? But it's true, and it's like there's nobody, like, and I'm not going to say nobody because I'm sure there's an artist out there somewhere. There's always artists that are telling stories, but artists need to write where they're at, and because there is somebody that maybe is in a marriage for a long time and, you know, like, are in a low part, but they just need somebody to say, hey, stick it out. Because once you get over, when you get over a low point and you get back up, you love that person so much more. You're like, oh,
preach
my God.
It.
But it's like people writing about that, and, like, that's the thing. It's like, I've always tried to be like, oh, I got to appeal to this person. I got to appeal to this guy. I got to appeal to this country radio. No, I'm just going to write where I'm at, and it's going to find its fans. It's going to find its place. And I'm like, And I love Jesus, but I'm not the picture perfect-esque version of the Lord. Like, I am.
Yes, you are, because you're real.
Thank you.
Jesus was real.
He was real. He was real. But I'm just saying, like, I've let that go too, because it's like, I felt like I've always tried to, like,
your heart is guided by God, and yeah, that's all that, yeah, you got to do.
And so the music has that roughness, but it also has that, like, spiritual-esque that I feel like all country music does have. It has that. I love country music because country music has that underlying faith, which, you know, you'll hear a guy talking about a beer and the next part talking about Jesus, and I think that that part about country music.
Well, you got to have fun.
It's
in
real.
Life. If it's all
real.
Serious, then, oh my God, oh my God, we can't make it through.
But I mean, I'm really excited. It's very.
What's the vibe of this new album?
I would say organic.
But like, what is the feelings that are emoting? Feelings, because like, you know, with like
motherhood.
Okay.
Marriage, fun. Obviously, I have to have fun. Very country. It's super country. The lyrics, the melody, and really great storytelling, I would say.
Is it a, do you feel like you're, is, because like some of, you've had some heavy topics in the past, mm-hmm, and like some heartache, but it's like beautifully
expressed. There's a
is
few it, heavy topics on this one.
About motherhood and marriage and.
Yeah, just, yeah. Motherhood probably, yeah.
What has been the hardest part for motherhood for you?
Actually, I love motherhood.
I love motherhood.
I can't.
I love it, every
I
bit
think
of it.
The biggest thing for me being a mom is like, I can't believe like God trusts me with this precious human being. And it's like, I see a lot of, like, I've just grown so much as a person because I know the things that I would never let, like, happen to her. And, like, so I just, I feel like processing that, like, of just this protectiveness. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's been very interesting. But I've never been one of those people that, and thank you, Jesus. Like, some people deal with postpartum depression, stuff like that. I never felt like I lost myself. I felt like I was exactly who I was meant to be, being a mother. That's probably amazing. Probably more than that. Like, she just gave me such a sense of foundation that, but I've always wanted to be a mom. I've wanted to be a mom since we got married. Like, I was ready. I was like, let's go. But I'm thankful, you know, we were married for 5 years before we got pregnant with Daisy. But yeah, I just, and two, I think I hate toxic mom culture more than anything.
And you really stand up against that.
I stand up against it. I'm so against it.
Because people are saying, what, you can't be a mom and a career woman?
This is the thing. If you are a stay-at-home mom, that is a job.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yes.
It. Oh, everybody knows.
Sure.
It is a job. First of all, like, and this is one of the best ways I've heard it. I obviously have help with Daisy. I have somebody that helps me with my day-to-day. But, like, there is somebody doing that job that I can't do because I'm working.
Because it's a job.
Because it's a job. We pay somebody to help because it's a job. So when somebody says that being a stay-at-home mom's not a job, I'm like, listen.
They lost their mind.
You've lost your ever-loving mind. It
lost
is a job.
It.
And, but I, you know, I have help on certain days, and then there's other days that I don't. And, like, I don't have a full-time nanny. I was like, because I want to be a little uncomfortable. I want to, okay, if you need to meet with me, Daisy Ray's got to come. All right, she's coming to lunch. All right, go between this time and this time because she's got a nap and you don't want to hang out with her when she doesn't have a nap because I'm going to leave her with you. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's like I'm never going to make her feel like she is not a priority. And I think, you know, that's why I bring her on the road. I want Daisy to experience life with mommy. I don't want her to think she chose a career.
And mommy leaves and does her career without me.
Yeah, mommy leaves. I think it's good for her to know that mommy goes to work, whatever, but she is chosen. She is a part of this family. She is a part of my career. She's a part of my life. She is not second.
Mm.
And that has been the biggest thing for me. And yes, it's hard. Being married's hard. Being a mom is hard. Having a career is hard. Like, not having a career is hard. All of it is hard.
You choose your hard.
Choose your hard and you go for it.
Yeah.
And but there's something that opens up for you when you have a kid, and the life, like the creativeness that has opened up in my heart, the way I view things, like things just roll off my back in a different way. And it's just like, I know I'm standing up for something and like bigger than me because I have a child now. So it's just different. And I think my biggest thing that like another thing that I want to do is like inspire. Like, if you want to be a mom, go be a mom. Like, you can be a mom and be an artist. You can do it. Is it hard? Yes. But like, I love seeing more artists. If it's what you want, because if you don't want it, that's fine. But I'm just saying, if it's what you want and you have a desire in your heart to be a a parent and a mother.
Don't put it off.
Don't put it off. Do it. And God will give you the resources. He's going to take care of you. You're still going to be hot. You're going to be cool. Like, all that is bullshit. And who cares if
people don't care.
If you think I'm washed up goods because I'm mom, cool, bro. I don't even give a shit about your opinion. I care about Josh's opinion, the Lord's, and my daughter's. So it's like, it's all about, like, your perspective.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm really excited seeing, like, you know, Maddie and Tay being moms, and Mackenzie Porter's pregnant now. And, like, there's just, and then a lot of songwriters, like, even Nicole Gallia, when she was talking about when I had Charlie, the world opened up for me. And I think that there's a lot of song. It's just really cool. But I, one of my biggest things in this next phase of my life is just to advocate for just being a positive light as a mom. And because it's hard. I mean, you're a mom, you get it.
But I agree with you, though. It has been the absolute greatest blessing of my life. I feel like Sunny, I was wandering until I had her.
Yeah, and then you have her, and it's like, do you also feel like, what did I do with my life before my child?
Yeah, and like, I cared about all this stuff, because, like, you literally have no extra bandwidth to care about anything.
I don't even
get
my nails done anymore.
I took off chipped blue nail polish this morning with a toilet paper, because I don't have any cotton swabs, because Sunny's used them all to put on fake lotion on her face. And I was like, I can't give them a chipped blue nail polish. Yeah.
But I just, like, you know. Nope.
Who cares?
I don't wear long nails anymore. I don't do certain things, but I will always keep my extensions, and I will always whatever. But I'm just saying, like, you pick your things.
You pick.
But I...
Because you have no extra time. Because people are like, well, what are you doing? It's like, if you're with your kid, that is what you are doing.
That's
like,
what you're doing all the time.
Yeah, you're, like, chasing them around and wiping their butt and, like, cleaning up messes and making food.
But even, like, when you go to a party, you don't really enjoy a party. Like, it's fine. But you're chasing your child.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take care of your child. So,
yes.
But no, it's... That's been another thing for me, is just, like... You know, and I feel like a lot of my friends are like, I was one of the first ones to get married.
Yeah,
like,
at 21?
At 21. Like,
I mean, that's...
And then everybody started kind of getting married. A few people have had divorces.
You're the first to do a lot of things, Raylan.
But you know what? We've stuck it out. We're here, you know?
And you were just ready sooner.
Yeah.
You know, your life got you ready.
Yeah, it's been cool, but I'm very excited.
And now look at you in the matching outfits.
I know, I love
it. Like Josh had on and I just got into them. How did I get into them so late? It's so fun.
Mommy and
twin.
Me is fun.
I'm dead over it.
I love to match her, and like, I always like to color, like, you know, we don't have to be matchy-matchy all the time, but like, she wore her Barbie sweatsuit, and so then I wore a gray sweatsuit with like a pink, like, vest. Like, we always are coordinating. We're coordinating girlies 24/7, me and Daisy. She is...
Well, Sunny will get upset with me if I... Don't if we can't, like, make it match, then she gets upset about it and wants me to change, though.
That's been
a problem, because, like, I have to, like, we have to have the same vibe on, like, with this outfit. Like, she didn't have this on today, so she did not want me to wear this.
No.
So I have to, like, fight for clothes.
How old is Sunny now?
4 and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
Full opinion of everything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, if I'm not in her, if it's not suitable to her standards, like, she won't let me wear it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So the matching is great.
Daisy
until,
loves,
like,
Daisy's really into makeup. So when I get my makeup done or whatever, she wants to touch. She uses her crowns to, like, give me, you know, eyeshadow or whatever. But she's so fun.
I love you, Raylan. I'm going to wrap up with Leave Your Light. It's just a full big question.
Yeah.
What do you want people to know?
About me?
About you, about life, what you've gathered over this whole journey. Like, what's a little piece of wisdom that you just want to leave with people that you think could really help them in their lives?
First of all, I mean, that's a big question.
Super broad.
I'll just go with what's worked for me, and just, like, I don't know what everybody's faith is. For me, it's Jesus and God, and I believe he's the creator of the universe. But, like, when things feel out of control, just to let it go. And
let it be out of control.
Let it be. Like, yeah, and just... do the next right thing and keep going through the doors that are working for you, and don't force things to happen, but just really, truly, you don't have to be a believer of God to let go and let God control your life. Like, and I would say that. I would just say that, you know, fight for what's right in your life. You know, the convictions you have, the values you have, like, stick with those, because they're in you for a reason. And, you know, follow the next right thing and don't get too obsessed with the rest of it.
Amen. Raylan, I'm going to church with Raylan. Thank you so much for joining me on Get Real. This is amazing. You're kicking off the season this year, so
again,
I really
kicking
appreciate
it. Off the season 2024.
That's right. It's going to be a great year. Okay, love you, Raylan.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.